thank you. Lord, you're so good, and we're so undeserving, and yet just remarkably blessed to know that you care for us, that you'll guide us, direct us, and give us strength, but wisdom, instruction, knowledge on how to live our lives properly. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we are in your word today, that we can truly learn more about how to stand for you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 6:14, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruit of the Spirit, the armor of God for a few weeks, and this is the first week that we actually get into some of the armor. And it's the belt of truth. Now, we wear belts to keep our pants up. Most of us don't need that because our girth will keep the pants up. But the belt for a soldier, and you think about here. Here's Paul, while he's writing this letter, is chained to a soldier. So he kind of uses what he sees around him for a metaphor for spiritual things. And he's saying, yeah, we should probably be just as prepared as this soldier is that's chained to him. One of the pieces of equipment that the soldier had was a belt. And that belt, a lot of different historical references kind of describe it a little bit differently, but apparently it had like leather pieces that were hanging down for protection around certain parts, and it also was used to hold the sword. And so if you didn't have your belt on, you wouldn't have any weapons. It's kind of important to have that belt to start with. And it was a little bit of protection as well, but it also was one of those things. I was reading some articles about, you know, basically when you gird up your loins, is what it talks about in the old King James and things like that. You're tying the belt up properly, you're fastening the belt around your waist. It was to get, because they were wearing tunics, skirt things, and was to have something to tie that up to. So they had a process where they would tie all that up and put it up there. And basically that was so that they could either work or be ready for action, for fighting or whatever. And one of the articles that I read said, basically when somebody tells you to gird up your loins, they're just telling you to man up, you know, get ready for action. So that's what we're talking about today. When you discuss the belt of truth, it's like we got to be ready for action. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That's Ephesians 6:14a. I'm going to go through a number of scriptures, and you can look them up if you'd like to. Again, I'll just let you do the speed drill, Bible drill kind of thing if you want to try to find the passages, or you can just follow along. The text will be on the wall. Matthew 7:24-29 is kind of an interesting passage about building. So, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and puts them into practice. So you hear them and you put them into practice. Is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay, so this is a simile. It's like if you listen to Jesus and you do what he says, you're like a wise man that built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. If we are grounded and founded in Jesus Christ, we can stay standing. Passage goes on, but everyone who hears these words, same thing you all heard, they hear these words of mine and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. So here you got Jesus is going around, and he's teaching people in a practical way things that they would understand, but he's also teaching with authority. And he's saying, if you do what I say, if you practice the word, if you follow God's precepts, you're going to be able to stand. If you don't, you can listen to me and then not do what I say. That'd be foolish, because you're going to get crashed down and fall. Because in this world, there will be trouble. You will have problems. And so take heart. I've overcome the world. I love that Jesus is pretty practical. He's given people the choice. This whole concept of free will. He's calling everybody to him. Hey, come, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come unto me. You want peace? You want joy? Do you want eternal life? Would you like to be an overcomer of evil? Come to me. Because Jesus had already shown that he can overcome everything. In fact, he ends up defeating death. John 17:17. This is where Jesus is, you know, the real Lord's Prayer, where he's gone to the garden. He's praying to the Father about his followers and then about future followers, all of the church. And he's asking the Father, sanctify them by your truth, by the truth. Your word is truth. And if we're going to put on the belt of truth, we've got to start thinking about, okay, well, how do we know truth? It seems like right now there's a lot of different interpretations of what truth is. You look at what's happening in the world right now. In Congress, one side thinks they have the truth, and the other side thinks they have the truth, and so both sides are sniping at each other and being rude. And that's kind of an indication to me that neither side has the truth. Okay? If they really had the truth, they'd find a way to make peace. They'd find a way to work things properly. I don't know that there's really even a strong desire on many of our parts to seek truth, because we think we've already got the right answer. When I taught math, the hardest thing for me to do as a math teacher, a math instructor, was to convince kids to check their work. They could finish the problem and they figured, I'm done. I got an answer. It might not be the answer, but they had an answer. And if they could learn to check their work, then they would know that they had the answer. The worst enemy is thinking that you're done when you're not done. In a math problem, I think in life too. For we think we have the truth, but we don't. We think we have understanding, but we're missing it. But where do we go to check our answers? Where do we go to check what our mind is telling us is truth, or we think we've come and attained knowledge? You go to Scripture, because God's Word is truth. And then Jesus says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we want to gird our loins with the belt of truth, if we want to put on the belt of truth, we've got to recognize that that is Jesus. We're putting on Jesus because he is the truth. There's no way around it, and there's no other way to the Father. There's no other way to eternal life. There's no other way to final blessing without going through Jesus, because he is the truth. Since we can't see Jesus, what do? Well, there's this Spirit. In John 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, again, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, talking about when he's going to leave them. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth. If we're looking at the Word and listening to Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to discern truth. And we'll be able to follow and be guided by Jesus Christ. In John 8, Jews were having disagreements, talking with him like they often did. To the Jews who had believed him, though, there were some that were actually saying they believed him. Yeah, it makes sense, okay? He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. That's kind of the same thing as saying, if you hear my words and follow them, if you hold to my teaching, okay, there's really, if you truly believe something, you're going to do something about it. The whole concept of, if you think that it's going to be pouring down rain, you probably aren't going to go outside in your summer clothing unless you're a little bit strange and enjoy being rained on in your summer clothing. You dress for the weather. That if you believe that it's going to be cold, you probably find a way to bring a coat with you or stay indoors. There's going to be things that we do. Our actions come from our beliefs. If you listen to God's teaching and you don't follow His teaching, it means you don't believe His teaching. If you hold to my teaching, Jesus says, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if we really want to understand truth, wear truth, put on that belt of truth, we have to understand that it comes from following God's laws, following God's commands. If you want to take them as suggestions, that's fine, just still follow them. If you get a really wise suggestion from a friend and you say, well, that's perfect, that's exactly right, but then you ignore them and don't follow it, doesn't help. The old Minnesotan thing, if a guy, and then you explain to them how they could fix their problem, but if you don't listen to the if a guy, your problem's not solved. If you follow Jesus, if you hold to His teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In 2 Timothy, here's Pastor Paul talking to young Timothy, young Pastor Timothy, and he's explaining to him, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Well, how do you present yourself to God as somebody that's approved? A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The passages around that, it's like, you know, Timothy, just do what you have been taught. You know what's right. Do that. Then you're going to be able to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You won't have to be ashamed when you approach God because you're correctly handling the truth that He's given to us. You're correctly handling His righteous words. James, another one of, you know, Jesus touched so many people in so many different ways. This is little brother James. Jesus had a relationship with him that I just can't imagine being the brother of Jesus. I don't think you could ever live off. You know, it's like, why is he your favorite, Mom? You know, anyway. James says, he, Jesus, chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. He understands, after He's met with his brother died on a cross, was buried, and spent a few days in the tomb, and then He rose again, and they had a conversation, and with His understanding of who His brother was, He was a creator of the universe. And He's saying, wow, He was able to come out of the grave, kind of like a first fruit. Well, He's also given us the opportunity to have new birth through the word of truth. He knew that he wasn't really alive until he understood who his brother was, and he believed the words of his brother. Before that, it was kind of like, yeah, right, if you're so famous, you know, go prove yourself somewhere. And then he became a worshiper of God. In Philippians, again, there's a list of things we're supposed to meditate on, things that we're to think about. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. It gets kind of put first here. It's also put first when we're talking about the armor of God. Why would truth be so pivotal? Why is that the most important thing? Well, none of the other stuff really would make any sense if we didn't have the belt to attach it to. You don't have a sword of the Spirit. You don't have your weapon to attack the enemy with if you don't have truth. And truth is kind of important. That's why they have judges and juries and people that are trying to weigh and balance and figure out, okay, let's hear all the facts. What is the truth of this? And if you listen to a witness speaking, you're hearing their perspective. And then you hear another witness and you hear their perspective. And if you hear enough witnesses, you've got all these different perspectives, and you try to rightly divide it, rightly put it together and say, okay, what is truth in this? There's somewhere in this, there's some truth. Whatever is true, that's something we're to think about. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, these are the things we're to think on. But all of that has to be wrapped around the truth. If you think about something that you may think is noble and you find out it's a fake, it's a false nobility, it's not true, then it's like, why would I want to think about that? Whatever is right, well, somebody can say they're right, but what if they're not grounded in truth. Whatever is pure. Somebody can claim to be pure. How many pastors have we heard about that were preaching the correct word of truth from the pulpit and living a different life in private? And then they get caught and they get found out, and it's like, okay, now can I believe anything they said? And so you have to weigh it. Even, you know, when Paul preaches, he praises the people that say, yeah, listen to my words and imitate me, but more importantly, check it against Scripture. Check and make sure that I'm not giving you false doctrine. Check all of your teachers. Test the teaching with Scripture, with truth. And so you keep having to come back to truth. Excellence and praiseworthiness, it's nothing's going to be excellent and praiseworthy if it's not true. In John 1, it mentions that the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one that knows us intimately. He knows every thought. He knows our heart's feelings. And He still loves us. And He gives us grace. And He gives us mercy. Because it's all based on the truth of wages of sin is death. That's been paid for. He died. Whatever the truth you want to try to come up with, if the enemy wants to come after you and come up with all the reasons why you're not worthy and you're not worth anything and you're less than the worst of the worms under the ground, you know, we can beat ourselves down if we're not careful. But if you're grounded in truth, if you're grounded in Jesus, you're grounded in the Word, you can stand, you can say, yes, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm able to withstand whatever comes against me. So when those waves come and the winds and the streams rise and all of this stuff, it's like, are you planted on the rock or on the sand? We've been watching these last few months as we've had some of the king tides, and a lot of sections of beach have washed away. That sand is not very solid. If you're thinking that the sand's going to hold for you. John, you remember that cross that we walked up to a couple times? It's gone. The beach washed so far back that took that 20 feet of sand away from there, washed it all away. There's just about a 10-foot... It's about a 10-foot bank there now with no cross, because that bank washed up behind the cross. It took out bushes and trees, and it's taking out sections. Down in town where they're trying to hold it back with this giant rock jetty, it's fun actually to kind of go up there during the high tide and watch as it just wave after wave comes over that jetty. And the road next to the really expensive condominiums that we could never afford is about 2 feet deep in water. And then you'd have to have a pretty good vehicle to get in and out of there. I don't know. They've got some of those cool vehicles that turn into boats. But anyway, yeah. And, you know, the people in town with the businesses and stuff, they've got to have sandbags around their entrances. Because water can be pretty remarkably crazy. But the ones that are built on the rock, they're still standing even with all of that happening. Can you imagine if you thought, yeah, this is a good place to build a house. Let me just build it here on the sand. And it's gone. I mean, there's a beach further south that I think they call it Disappearing Beach or something. I don't remember the exact name, but it's been washing away huge sections of it, going back about a half mile so far. God is the only rock that we can really trust and stand on. If we want to truly stand, we've got to have that belt of truth. John chapter 4. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit. You want to be one of those that's sought after by God? You want to be somebody that the Father is looking to? Be a worshiper that worships in spirit and in truth. Today's text, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Growing up, I think I was raised in a church that was pretty well known for the truth. I think there's a lot of churches that speak the truth. They speak God's word, and it truly is God's word. And yet, where's the Spirit? Are they doers of that word? Are they just listening and they know it so well that they could argue with you about every point in it? You know, it's important that every passage we looked at today is talking about being a doer, being a listener and carrying out what you heard, practicing. And I think, again, you know, if we don't practice what we preach, we can have all the right things to say. Kids can kind of see through that. You know, the parents that have to tell you, do as I say, not as I do, they know their faults. The parent needs to tell themselves, do as I say. And the only way we can do that is through the strength of God. When we look at all the verses around this stand firm then, there's a lot about standing, but we're standing in the strength of God. We're not standing in our own strength. We're not standing because we've got this formula. I know people that claim to get up in the morning and put on the armor of Christ, and they physically are, you know, kind of mind games, whatever, they figure out they've got all of it memorized, and they put the belt on and the breastplate and the helmet and the shoes, and they do all this stuff, and then they get up and go about their day. Are they truly connected to God? Because if they're trusting in their ability to put all this stuff together, that's a false trust. That's not the truth. If we trust in Jesus, if we trust in the truth, He's the one. Yeah, we want to have all the armor on. But without knowing where this armor comes from, it's His armor that He's giving us the ability to wear. We get to wear His robes of righteousness. And it's only in His strength we can stand. I love that this little church community is doing that. I see all around the community people doing things for people. People caring for one another. You know, they'll know we're Christians by our love. If we're not doers, then we're really, really missing that key element, that belt of truth. And we can't stand. And the rest of the armor, got nothing to hold on to. It's just going to kind of fly out there. Thank you, Lord.